Hey there, friends. You're listening to Coming Alive Conversations, Season 4, Episode 29. I'm Angie Elkins, producer of the show. And guys, Jen is coming on, and she has got such a great show for you today. Her guest is Heather Creekmore, and they're talking about comparison, but you're going to be a bit surprised about a few of the things Heather says. I never expected to hear what I heard today, so I'm really glad you're listening. I think you're going to be blessed by this. You know, we spend a lot of time, almost unconsciously, comparing ourselves to other people and how they're doing it. It's like we think God is grading us on a scale or something, and He's totally not doing that. But comparison is real, guys. It's a real, real issue. And so I'm thankful for Heather and for the book that she's written. Of course, as always, there's a link in the show notes so you can grab a copy. And also follow Heather on all the socials. And if you love Coming Alive Conversations, please consider donating to Coming Alive Ministries to help support. Okay, guys, here's the host of our show, Jen Hand.
Friends, welcome to Coming Alive Conversations. I have had a week off from recording, and I'm back and ready to go with such excitement because this is my favorite day of the week. Tuesday is when I record. I get to meet and talk to the coolest people, and I get to read the best books and our guest Heather today. Y'all, I highlighted and dog-eared and like spilled coffee. I was so excited all over her book. So Heather Creekmore, welcome to Coming Alive Conversations.
Oh, thanks, Jen. It's so great to be with you.
I am thrilled you're here and love, love, love your message. And I knew we would be besties. I feel if you live in my town, we would hang out. You even have on big earrings, which I am sure you can see. Why? And all
I love
of my
them.
Listeners or friends know that's what I, that's, you know, the bigger the earrings, the smaller your bottom looks. That's what I found.
I did not know that fashion tip, but now I'm in.
Now you know. Well, Heather, welcome. And we always start out with you just sharing a few random facts about yourself. Yeah. You can take it any direction you want. So
okay.
Welcome to our family.
Okay. So random fact number one, my husband used to be a fighter pilot in the Marine Corps, and now he's a pastor. And those two professions are very different and very the same all at once. We have 4 kids, and I've been homeschooling for 8 years. So I started before COVID made it a thing that everyone did. And we love homeschooling. It's been really great for our family. And then I would say thing number 3 is you may recognize me from my television appearance on a little show on Netflix called Nailed It. I am the first contestant in season 1, episode 1, and it's my blue leaning tower cake that was the show's icon for the first several seasons. So you may recognize my red hand holding the cake up more than you recognize my face. But that's kind of been my claim to fame for the last couple of years since that show came out. And I'm not a very good baker, as you can see if you watch the show.
I love it. And I did, in fact, see you on that show. And I love, I'm all for all the baking competitions on Netflix. I'm all in. And I often feel like I'm on an episode of Nailed It when I try to bake. I cook for my small group on Wednesday nights, and I always try to bake something for them. And it's either good or really bad. There's no in between. So
I love it.
That's awesome. The other day, the cake fell way apart, and I was like, I'm going to make this into cake balls.
Cake balls. Thin. Perfect.
Yeah. I meant to do that, it. So
that's creativity. I like that.
There you go. Well, I love it. We have a famous one among us today on Coming Alive Conversations. Well, Heather, I love your book. I love the idea of it, and I can't wait to dive into the message of it. The name of it is The Burden of Better: How a Comparison-Free Life Leads to Joy, Peace, and Rest. And I knew I was going to love you from page one. You made me laugh out loud about comparing yourself to a girl that you thought for sure didn't sweat.
Yes.
So I would love to hear what made you think I need to write about comparison. Where did that seed get planted in you?
Yeah. So, you know, really it kind of naturally followed. I had written a book in 2017 called Compared to Who. And that book is really about body image. But a lot of people assumed it was about comparison because of its title. And so what happened naturally was I was getting lots of, you know, questions questions like, okay, well, where's your book about comparison then? Or when are you going to talk about comparison more broadly? Or, okay, we kind of feel like we have a grip on the body image issue now, but what about the way we compare our houses and our marriages and our, you know, everything in life? And so that's why I was like, okay, well, I'll tackle comparison. But then honestly, Jenna was like, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this one because do I know what the cure is for comparison? Like, I feel like that's a place where I kind of get stuck every once in a while here. So it's really just a journey with the Lord, with scripture, doing research and just kind of trying to, you know, seek him and say, okay, God, you know, is there a cure for comparison, or is this just something that we're going to always be stuck with? And I really feel like he was faithful to show me some answers and some truth.
I loved it. And he did. And it just really made me pause and think. Even last week, I was at the beach with 18 friends for a week. And I mean, it was so easy to look to my right and my left and compare the person in the bathing suit next to me, to compare the cool kids that I, you know, like, oh, why am I even invited to sit at this table? You know how you can go down. And we all compare to different things. I love it. Right. You say in your book, with this perspective of comparison, every arena feels like a competitive event. Life becomes our own personal Olympics.
Right.
If you want to win a medal, you play the game. Maybe you've competed in some of these competitions. Cutest dressed at church, or just cutest dressed in general, right? Mm-hmm. Best behaved children at playgroup until they start biting. best wife, most helpful friend, cleanest house when company comes over, which is not my house right now. And so what would you say some of the competitive Olympics you found yourself in?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that was my list, right? Just, it's this quiet thing that we do without telling anyone, right? But we think, as we prepare to go somewhere or do something, you know, if we're honest, we think, okay, well, I have to look nice. So I'll, you know, look nice and really, but it's more than that. It's like, I kind of, you know, I want everyone to think I look nice and I want that accolade, right? Or I want people to think well of me. I was really convicted about it in the church arena for sure, because in the trailer for my book actually kind of shows this. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch that or not, but I was in church raising my hands in worship, you know, singing a song about how great Jesus was. And thinking, I wonder how I look in this outfit. is anyone looking? Has anyone noticed how I look in this outfit? And, oh, I wonder if I look as good as the girl on stage leading worship, and maybe I should look better like her. And, you know, so, I mean, just there's so many arenas, Jen, where we get hung up on, you know, and should I be better? Or could I be the best? Should I be the prettiest here? Or should I be the most talented here? Or should I be the smartest one in this group? Or whatever drives us. And we get stuck there. And really, it makes it hard for us to love others in the way that Jesus asked us to love others, because if we're competing with them, we're not loving them well.
I love that. And you also kind of talk about, which the truth is, when we start comparing ourselves and thinking either we're better or we have to do it better to be like the better we see, that never ends.
No. No, comparison's ladder has no top rung. Like there is never a time when you will be able to say, I am the best. Like it doesn't happen. There is always going to be someone better. And frankly, there's always going to be someone that's further behind, right? And really, if we get to a place where like, oh, I'm better than everyone else, I mean, that's a place that God asks us not to go to. That's pride, right? And God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So that's not really where we should be trying to get to. And yet, secretly in the garbage in our hearts, right? Like, we kind of want to do that just a little bit.
So it's a tricky thing.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Let me be better than everyone, please.
What was your experience on Nailed It? How did that play into that part of you?
Yeah. You know, I love that you asked that, because I talk about this in the book. If I had done Nailed It 10 years ago, it would have been a completely different experience. But God has really worked on me. Now, I've always been able to laugh at myself. Like, I've always, you know, kind of been able to pull off that, like, I don't know if it's necessarily self-deprecating, but the like, oh, I'm a little bit of a goofball sometimes. Like, I've always been able to pull that off. So that part of the show wasn't really a stretch, but I do like to win. Right. And so, and yeah, I pretty much there was, they had set me up. I knew I wasn't going to win. But really more so, like everything going into just being on television, like 10 years ago, that would have been like, oh my word, I would have needed to, you know, make sure that I had dieted for a month ahead of time. And, you know, I would have spent nonstop hours shopping for the right outfit or, you know, getting my nails perfect and all those things. And I really got it done such a work to free me from all that, that I was really able to just be there and have a good time and not overly stress over how do I look on TV? What are people going to think of me? And it was a good, I guess, testimony to the work that he had done in my life on that front.
I love that. And I love, we're going to get to the key of what you have kind of found for us as to unlocking this burden of better. And also a side note, if I was a better podcaster, I probably would have told my landlord not to mow the grass right now, but he's here mowing the grass. And I don't think we can edit that out. So friends, you too have to mow your lawn occasionally. I don't have to mow my lawn. My landlord does. So if you hear that in the background, he's swinging by my apartment that I live in. So anyways, you know, there you go. There's a real life podcaster for you. Angie, I'm not going to ask you to edit that out because, you know, who knows when he's going to swing by. So Heather, let's just go ahead and jump to, and then I want to go back to a few things about the better and the comparison. But before we jump too far into even just really going down that trail, what is the ticket you talk about? What frees us? What is the key that unlocks us from this burden of better?
Yeah.
You know, I know because I read the book, but yeah. I'll let you share with our listeners what that is.
I think the secret is grace. And I know that might be a leap. Like some of your listeners are probably like, yeah, okay, there's the God and Jesus answer. I already know that answer. But I tell you, I think a lot of the ways that we get hung up, stressed out, you know, feel anxious, those arenas in which we are comparing ourselves so vigorously, we're looking for something in those comparisons. We're looking for something in that competition. And what we're looking for is identity, right? Like we're looking for some way to prove our value. And really, like the gift of grace does that, right? Like we, you know, if you've been around church circles for a while, yes, I know my identity's in Jesus. Like we know some of those cliches, but I don't think even I, growing up in a Christian home, going to Christian schools, I don't think I even had a deep enough understanding of just all the different ways that God's grace really does secure my identity, secure my future, and really afford me the opportunity to be different in the ways that he's designed me. You know, it's God's grace that allows me to be free from the pressure of feeling like I have to look like a 6 foot tall supermodel because I am barely 5 foot five and a half and I cling to that half. It's probably gone now. I haven't actually measured myself in a while, so I might just be a straight 5'5". But you know, like it's not going to happen and I'm also in my mid 40s now. Like I'm supermodeling is not going to be part of my future. But understanding like God's tremendous grace in that that's not the path he has for me. And there's so much a freedom to explore, okay, how has he gifted me? What purpose has he given me? What has he, you know, given me the passion for and the, you know, really the aptitude for to do for his kingdom. And that frees me from the pressure to have to be like her or her or her and do what she's doing or do what she's doing or do what she's doing. And just to go all in with, okay, God, it's your grace that covers me in this. Show me what you want me to do. And I think that that's really good news for anyone who gets hung up in comparison.
I love that. And I must admit that when I was reading through your book, that wasn't the answer I was expecting.
Okay.
I don't know what I was expecting. Maybe like 10 steps to your eyes being blinded to the person next to you and not caring anymore. Or, but you're, when I let that settle in and think about grace and the gift it is to us, I'm like, this is the most freeing answer everywhere because it is that very thing, a gift given to us, not something we have to be better to get.
Right.
And so when I was diving into these chapters, I'm like, yes, I love you say securing our identities in Christ topples idols. Like I need everyone to like me or I want everyone to think I'm pretty. And I have definitely been in the I need everyone to like me category. Mm-hmm. Other self-obsessed thoughts like, I hope they all think I'm a good mom, or I'm not a mom, so I haven't thought that, but I am an aunt And I'm sure I'm a good aunt because I spoil them rotten. That's awesome. Or I hope other women at church see me as a good Christian. Acceptance leads us to a place where we no longer need anyone's stamp or approval aside from God's. Right. And that is very freeing. And I would love for you to share on a typical Monday in someone's mm-hmm. life. What does that look like? How do you live that out on a Monday or in the middle of your mundane?
Yeah. You know, living it out really requires listening to, I would say, the static, right? The noise, because the enemy is not going to just be like, oh yeah, you go, girl, you live in God's grace and you just enjoy the rest and the peace and the joy that comes with that. No, like the enemy's going to fight this battle hard. And this is one that I see him winning a victory in too many women's lives, right? Because that static in our heads, and sometimes these are noises, these are voices that we have heard since childhood, right? Like, you're not good enough. Mm-hmm. You're not the right size. You don't have the right look, you know. Oh, if you were better, then this would be this way in your life. Or, you know, oh, look, they don't like you as much as they like her. You should be more like her. Like, all of these things that we hear and we've, you know, really kind of accepted in a lot of cases, right? Like, well, this must be true. You know, he's right. Yeah, I don't have a boyfriend, so I must not be good enough. I mean, these are very real things that we hear over and over and over again. And so I would say, to go back to your question, how do we live this out on a Monday? Thing one is, you know, surrendering, like, okay, God, just help me with this today. And then listening to that noise and learning to take those thoughts captive. And that's not necessarily easy, right? It takes practice. But I would say every client I work with, where we start is, okay, you got to start listening, because most of us have listened to these voices for so long that we've just come to, they're friends. Like, we've come to accept it as like, well, this is just me. It's just my struggle with not feeling good enough. Poor me. And it's like, no, wait, Jesus has something very different to say about that. And you get to choose who you listen to. You don't have to listen to the enemy's lies, even if there's a little bit of truth in it, because that's what he does. He gives just a little bit of truth. So you're like, well, that was kind of true. I have to keep that. No, you don't. You don't have to keep that. You don't have to listen to the liar at all. Listen to the Lord. If there's something he wants to change, he'll convict you in his way, right? But you don't have to listen to Satan's condemnation. So just listening, paying attention, hearing what's going on in your head, and then that frees you to really stop comparing yourself, because you have to win whatever competition the enemy has said you need to win in order to be better. So that'd be my advice for a typical Monday.
I think I love it. So that you don't have to win that competition that says right. You will be better if you right. do this. Right. I remember when I ran my one and only marathon that I'm never going to run again. I can check it off the list, but I remember thinking, goodness, the person that won this race, it's awesome. They probably ran it, went home to their home country, had a banquet, and had run another one by the time I finished. And I wanted to say, like, it's amazing that they ran that race in under 3 hours. But I think it's even cooler to say you ran for 7.5 hours straight, right?
Absolutely. But I'd still be running. Take me at least 3 days.
Well, I'm never doing it again. I'm going to tell you that. But the truth is, we do this race in our lives in such a way we wear ourselves out trying to outrun the person in front of us, or the person that is not meant to be the pace with us. Right. When the Holy Spirit has marked a plan for us and he's walking, running alongside of us, whatever pace, sometimes it's being still. Sometimes who knows where he is taking us, but he does. And it is completely different than our neighbor and their journey. And so I love this freedom to not try to be in that competition.
Yes. Right. Because it's the wrong race, right? Like, we get in all these other races, but they're not the right race. Like, the race of our lives is not the race to see who can be prettiest. Right? Like, that's the wrong race. And you know, there's no eternal trophy for, like, who was thinnest. Right. Like, that's just, you know, bizarre.
Somebody needs to hear that.
Right. Right. Like, there's no eternal trophy for who had the most organized home, or who had the best home decor, or who had the best job, right? Like, these are just really intangible ways that we measure ourselves against others. And these are not the ways God judges us at all, mm-hmm. right? And so when we put so much effort and energy into these fake races, you know, it's like the Olympics are going on, right? And God's like, okay, yep, I got the Olympic Games here. I got a purpose for you. I got something for you to do. And we're like, no, you know what? Instead of doing that, I'm going to go down the street and I'm going to just like, you know, race this guy that I met at McDonald's and see who's faster. You know, it's like totally ridiculous. You'd never do that, you know, but it's like, it's that silly that we do that there. And there's no medals when you're racing the guy you met at McDonald's, right? A couple blocks away from the Olympic Stadium. There's no medals in that, right? But that's what we do.
Yeah. And don't you think social media fuels that in times? There can be a real blessing in social media and then the real comparison trap we can fall into, because filters can do a lot. Or I can show you one corner of my house that makes me look organized, but that does not mean that you can see my bedroom, right?
Right. Right. Well, and it turns us from being people, right, who are multidimensional, right? We're body, soul, spirit. We are not objects. It turns us into people who objectify ourselves and others, and we're full-time marketers, right? Here's the flat image I want you to see of me. Here's the flat image I want you to see about my life, right? And that's not the full picture ever when we're looking at a flat image. So it really does skew the way we see ourselves and others.
I love that word, a flat image. It makes me think of how much time are we missing staring at flat images of others and missing the full color picture of our own lives.
Right.
That is convicting right there, Heather. I love it. Another convicting thing that I underlined, starred, like it's in the Ideal Me chapter. And you said, God taught me this lesson in my marriage, my ministry, and my friendships. Nothing ruins a good relationship faster than unspoken expectations. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the path our idealism and expectations take us down? We fall in love with our dreams, our desires. We idolize them, worshiping them in place of God. And then even if they do come true, they disappoint. It's not enough to make us happy. Mm-hmm. Comparison. I mean, I just want to read your whole book out loud. God, get the book, by the way. It'll be in the show notes. I won't read the whole book out loud, but I'll end with this sentence here of my out loud reading time with Jen. Comparison fuels our expectations. Then if we look closely, it reveals our idols. And I thought that sentence, nothing ruins a good relationship faster than unspoken expectations. Mm. How have you seen that and found freedom in that? And are finding freedom. It's a process, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, marriage, marriage has been big on that. But, you know, just even, so when I first got married, I would be very disappointed all the time. Just starting with my honeymoon, quite honestly, I thought a honeymoon meant staying in a hotel room and ordering room service, and that's what honeymoon life was. My husband woke me up. Now, we went to Hawaii from our honeymoon, and we were on the East Coast at the time. So there was a serious like time difference, right? But my husband like shoved me awake. My new husband shoved me awake at like 5:30 a.m. the first morning of our honeymoon and said, let's be first to the breakfast buffet. And I was crushed. I'm like, are you serious? Like this, no honeymoon. Like we should be ordering room service. It's 5:30 a.m. We should be staying in bed till noon. Now, you know, granted our internal clocks, we thought it was like 10:30, but still, like, it was not the way I expected it to go. And that kind of scenario used to happen for me again and again and again, where I would just be crushed. Like, and I didn't know how to talk about it either. Like, and I think maybe even, Jen, if I'm honest, I didn't even realize that that's what was happening. I didn't even realize that I had this expectation and then the expectation was let down. I really kind of thought, oh no, this is a problem. I really internalized it. Like, this is a problem with me. Like, there's something wrong with me that my husband doesn't want it to be like I pictured it would be. And that would happen with friendships, right? Like, well, she didn't ask me to go do that thing. Huh. And never thinking like that this was just a false expectation I had that I would be invited to something, or, you know, no, I would internalize that as well. Did I text her something weird? That must be why. It must be something with me is the reason why I'm not invited. And so, yeah, sorting all that out and becoming more aware of expectations, the expectations we put on ourselves in addition to other people, right? Because a lot of times we can start to feel really blah and down and depressed and anxious, and we don't even realize that the reason for that is just because we haven't met our own expectations. And if you think about that, like, in some ways in our culture, that sounds very reasonable. Like, yes, you should meet your own expectations, you know, like, do what you want to do, be the self-made person you are, and, you know, shoot for the stars and all those things, right? But if you really think about it, like, we get so caught up in trying to meet our own expectations that I wonder how many times we miss, like, all that God is, like, saying, like, hey, I've given you lots of freedom and I'm not putting these expectations on you. So for you to be, like, missing out on joy and peace and rest and a total stress case because you haven't met your own expectations, like, who's really your God in this scenario? Right? Like, who are you really serving? Right? Because Jesus is over there saying, like, I didn't ask all that of you. but we get stuck there, right? And so, yeah. So, you know, there's a lot I could probably talk for the next half hour on that front. But there's a lot there.
Oh, I love it. I love that you're so real too, because we all have been in those moments where we had an expectation of a friend or a spouse or finding a spouse in a certain time. And, and then when these things don't happen. So I hear you say, again, the key is listening to the noise, the thoughts, quieting our hearts enough to be like, oh, that is what's in there. That's why I feel disappointed, because I was expecting that of myself or someone else and they don't even know, or I didn't even know. And what a freeing thing. And all tying that up with the gift of grace. Right. And when we open that gift, then we can replace the lies and the things that we're holding on to, our unmet expectations, our idols, all the things, and it all going back to the freedom found in grace. Now, that is exciting. That just makes me want to shout glory. So I love it so much, the freedom found in this. Heather, I am a big fan of this book. And again, we're going to link it. I want everyone to get this. It's so freeing. Are you tired of chasing better? Find the freedom of how comparison-free life can be for you. And I just want to myself think about my faults now throughout the day. What is this noise that's causing me to compare? And I encourage our listeners to do the same. So Heather, we always end with, what is making you come alive?
Yeah. Oh my word. There's so many different ways I could go with this, Jen, but I am
going to, because you're a seven. Sevens have no problem coming alive. I feel like, right?
There's like 20 things I can say. Which one do I pick? You know, I'm doing research for my next book, and I'm reading a book called Quiet, which is about introverts. And I am just digging it so much because I'm just recognizing how much of maybe my own extroversion has been part of an image idol that I've fought my whole life. And so anyway, that's probably the most random answer you ever would have expected. But I'm reading this book like, oh my word, that's me. Oh my word, I can't believe this. So it's been kind of fun.
I love that. That is not what I expected, but I love that you're finding quiet in that. And also, we had Holly Girth on my podcast sometime last year, this year. I don't know. If I was experienced and better, I would know what episode, but she has a book for introverts that is so good. So we'll link that as well. For if we have some folks that need to study up on this introversion and what it's like. And and then I love how God uniquely made all of us. And I love that that's making you come alive. And when is your next book coming out? Because I want to have you again. And I want to be the first to read it.
It's a process. So it's just being written now. So, you know, you might have to give it 2 years. That's the way the traditional publishing route goes. So in 2 years, we have a date.
2 years, I'm waiting for you. We have a date, Heather. We have a date. In 2 years, I expect you to be on Coming Alive Conversations, and I expect my landlord to not be mowing the grass. Because maybe in 2 years, I would be
married. Don't set that expectation too high.
I know. We just talked about expectations, and I'm about to say, maybe in 2 years, I'll be married, living in a castle with my Prince Charming. So...
I'm there.
Okay. I love it. Speaking of expectations, well, Heather, how can friends find you, keep up with you, and just be a part of what is happening as you help us to find freedom?
Yeah, I'm Compared to Who everywhere on social, but I really prefer connecting with people through my website, comparedtowho.me. And I have a free, like, walking I call it a walking workout, but don't be intimidated by that workout word. It's really just a 30-minute guided walk to talk through where you're stuck in comparison. And it's set to music. And so you can kind of get some exercise in if you're into that. But you can really start to think through areas where you may be stuck in comparison. So that's free on my website at comparedto.me. And I also have a body image quiz there too, which is free to take as well and kind of fun. Everyone likes quizzes, right?
Everybody loves a good quiz.
Right.
I love it. So we will find you there. We will walk with you there. And after you finish your walk, go watch her on Nailed It.
Yes.
Great thing. Heather, thanks for being on Coming Alive today, for writing this book, and for reminding us of the grace of God and how to use that to set us free.
My pleasure, Jen.